ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धाबाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्. We'll be discussing the namas of Devi in Lalita Sahasranama from 41st Nama till the 45th Nama. So the previous Nama that we learned was Manikya Makuthakara Jhanubhaya Virajita. Devi's knees that was being spoken. So the next part that comes up, like after the knee, is the portion of the calf muscles. So that is being explained, that is being described in the very next Nama. Om Indra Gopa Parishipta Smaratunabha Jangikaye Namaha. Indra Gopa Parikshipta Smaratunabha Jangikaye Namaha. So Jangika means calf muscles. So Devi's calf muscles are being explained or described here. And Indra Gopa. So Indra Gopa means, Indra Gopa doesn't exactly mean Indra. So Indra Gopa means like bright worms, those worms which glow, which have glow, which have prakasham. So those worms, parikshipta means paritaha kshiptav. So paritaha means surrounding or completely, kshiptav means like covering or covered, or you can say in a way like as the side gives decoration, so covered is the word meaning there. So these bright like worms, glow worms, they cover Jangika, Devi's calf muscles. We should say like it's not exactly that alone, because Smaratunabha. So Smaratunabha means like Smara, we know Kamadeva. So Kamadeva, Smaratunabha. Tunabha means the quiver of Kamadeva. So Devi's Jangika resembles the quiver of Kamadeva, and which is covered or decorated with bright glow worms. So it's a way of telling that Devi's calf muscles are very beautiful. So it's like the beauty is very much is what is being explained here. So when it also means that though Devi's like calf muscles are beautiful, it's not just beauty, but it's also bright. So it is so bright that it is as if we may think or we may feel, we may think or we may feel as if that it's been covered by bright glowworms. So they are bright. So in many cases, like in many places, like calf muscles are one of the important places of the body with respect to many things, as far as I know. Even as thighs are important, like we may think that thighs are not important, but Vuru is like very important. So that is also signified in the illustration or in the story or in the part of Mahabharatam, wherein like Duryodhana, in order to kill Duryodhana, Bhima had to attack the thighs of Duryodhana. That was because Duryodhana's mother Gandhari had like taken a vow during marriage that since her husband Dhritarashtra was blind, therefore she will also tie a cloth over her eyes. That means she will also be blind. And So her eyes had tremendous power because of like having it closed. We ourselves can feel. If we want to feel as if the world, external world is beautiful, it's bright, we just need to close our eyes for 5 minutes and then open it, we'll feel as if everything is bright. So that is the perspective vision that we get. Like the eyes, like when we rest the eyes, that's also what happens in dream as well. Not dream exactly, sorry, sleep. Once we sleep and when we get up, we feel fresh because our eyes are fresh. So Gandhari had that tremendous power in her eyes because she hadn't opened her eyes for quite long. So she, when like the war was not going well, so she requested Duryodhana to come in front of her. So she requested Duryodhana to come in front of her without wearing any cloth. So Duryodhana was about to do that. At that time, I forgot who is the person who screwed Duryodhana, like who gave Duryodhana a wrong impression or mocked at Duryodhana. Duryodhana was coming naked at that time. This person, I forgot the name, maybe Narada, I'm not sure. So that person said, he laughed at Duryodhana, saying, like, you are going naked. And like he mocked quite a lot that Duryodhana just wore a piece of plant piece or something that was a loin cloth at that time, and he wore it. And when he went in front of Gandhari, so Gandhari opened her eyes. So she opened her eyes, and the power of her eyes, the power which was in her eyes, that fell upon Duryodhana. But since his thighs were covered, therefore he couldn't, like those thighs didn't get the power. So I remember now, like that, as somebody pointed out, it is Krishna. Krishna is the person who mocked at Duryodhana in order to destroy him. So only Krishna knew. So when Duryodhana and Bhima were doing a Malla Yuddham, so at that time, like, Bhima would hit Duryodhana, but still nothing would happen to Duryodhana. Bhima would try as much as he can, but still Duryodhana will not like fall down. Duryodhana will not give up. Duryodhana would never get tired or die. Therefore, finally, Krishna gave Bhima the opinion that his thighs hit at its thighs. Therefore, like, that's how Bhima kills Duryodhana as well. So certain, like, that also symbolically means that there are many, many analogies or import to be taken from Mahabharatam. But instead of taking the import or concentrating on Ishvara, Vyasa concentrated on Dharma. Therefore, a lot of things are hidden. And that is the reason why he wasn't feeling happy after writing Mahabharata as well as all the Vedas. Therefore, he wrote Bhagavatam. That is the importance of Bhagavatam. That Bhagavatam gave Vyasa the mental happiness which he couldn't get after writing all the Vedas. Because in Bhagavatam, Vyasa is concentrating on Ishvara alone. So in this portion, we can find that Gandhari, like, tied a cloth over her eyes. This means that, like, attachment, it's attachment that blinds our vision. So Gandhari's attachment to her husband, like, blinded her vision. Oh, it's only blinding vision. What does it matter? It matters. That's the reason why that blinding vision of Gandhari as well as Dhritarashtra, both of that caused all the problems in Kauravas or with Kauravas. Not just Kauravas, but the entire clan itself was destroyed because of the blinding vision. So blinding vision is caused due to attachment. Attachment will completely destroy our entire clan, we can say. Kamat krodho vijayate, krodhat bhavati sammohaha, sammohat smriti vibhrama, smriti bhramshat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashyati. So Krishna gives the order, like, from kama, we give to krodha, and then smriti will vanish. So finally, it will take up a pranashyati, it will completely destroy a person. So there are few, that is the import of that particular aspect. But what it means that thighs are very important aspect of the body. Similarly, calf muscles also. So Devi's calf muscles are not only beautiful, they send across a bright light. They are like a source of bright light as well. The next nama is Om Guda Gulfaye Namaha. Guda Gulfa. So after the calf muscles, the next one next thing that comes is the ankles. So ankles, Devi's ankles, Gulfa. Gulfa means ankles. Guda means like complete or like fully blossomed kind of meaning. So like in the commentary, Bhaskara Raya gives us Mamsalau. So Mamsalau means like it is well filled with enough flesh is the meaning there. So it is well filled. So Devi's ankles are also well filled. So ankles are not that important as any other aspect or part of the body, but ankles are important in that we wear anklets on ankles. So anklets are a way of gaining attraction or attention of people. So women generally wear anklets because the sound itself attracts people. It not only attracts people, but it's also pleasing to hear. The anklets, the sound of the anklets in a way helps to cool or calm the mind. In many cases it may be the opposite. If we have an open mind, then we can definitely feel that whenever we hear the sound, then our mind becomes like calm. So there are certain sounds like Omkara, good music. So there are certain sounds which affect the mind. So sounds and mind, like mind is very much related to sounds. Whenever sounds are not there, then our mind becomes calm. Whenever sounds are there, only we become angry. This is the general case. We cannot take exceptional cases of people who are fans of Western music, wherein like you have to blast things, then only like that is called sound. So when you blast things, it's not called exactly sound, it's called music as well. So those are exceptional cases, but generally that's how happens. So that is like it helps in calming the mind as well as it helps in gaining or like giving a kind of notice to others that I am there. So the next nama is Om Kurma Prashta Jayishnu Prapadan Vithayai Namaha. So the next part that comes is feet. In fact, feet means we try to start from the front. So the front portion of like the feet, front portion, or we can also say as the side gifts, like the arch of the feet, that also like we can say. So kurma is like we are well aware of kurma avatara. So kurma means tortoise. So kurma prashta. So kurma prashta means like kurma, conquering kurma. So kurma prashta means like conquering kurma. So conquering kurma, Jayishnu. Jayishnu is a word used for Devi. It can mean that like Devi is the sister of Vishnu. So as we have discussed in Saundarya Lahari discussions, that Tripura Sundari consists of the mix of Trinity, or Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva and their consorts. So like if we consider Tripura Sundari first, like we can split it into three based on the gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, and each of the gunas have like one Devi and one Devata associated to it. They are sisters, and these brothers and sisters interchange, they marry. So that's how the Trinity of that we have now comes into picture. So Devi or Parvati Devi, who is the consort of Sadashiva, she is considered to be Sattva Guna Pradhanam. So she is considered the sister of Vishnu. There is also a temple, I don't know the temple name or where it is, but there is also a temple in India where I think probably Meenakshi temple, I'm not very sure about it, but there is a temple wherein Vishnu is present. Vishnu as a brother gives the hand of his sister Parvati to Shiva. So Jaishnu means like Vishnu's brother is the meaning here. So Jaishnu Prapada Anvita. So Prapada Anvita. So Prapada Anvita. Prapada means Padagram. Padagram means like the front portion of the feet. And Anvita means like, in a way, like we can say, comparing, we can say. So Devi's feet. So when we like take the whole meaning, so Devi's feet are more beautiful than the front of Devi's feet. So front of Devi's mean feet means like we have to take the top portion of Devi's feet. So the top portion of Devi's feet is like beads or like conkers. The back of tortoise, conkers, tortoise. But we got tortoise here. There is no. We can't say tortoise alone, so we have to take it as the top portion of tortoise. So that means tortoise top, like if we consider tortoise top or back, whatever we call it, or whichever way we see it, it is like there is an arch kind of thing, curve kind of thing. So Devi's feet, the curve or the top portion of Devi's feet, that is more beautiful than a tortoise or the arch or the curve of the tortoise. So like we also are well aware of like people who have flat feet. So flat feet is not considered good. So that's also another reason why like children, very young children are made to wear like chappals or like sandals which give them which make their feet like well structured. The arch or the curve comes, it doesn't become flat. That's a worldly thing. So Devi's feet or the arch of Devi's feet is more beautiful than tortoise. That means it's very beautiful is the meaning here. After speaking about Devi's like the feet, coming into Devi's feet, the next part that comes into picture is Devi's the nails of Devi's feet. So that has been explained or described in the very next nama. Om Nakadiditi Sanchanna Namajjana Tamogunayai Namaha. So nakha means nakham, or nakha means nails. So here, so nakha, here it has to be interpreted as nakha means Devi's nails in Devi's feet. So nails of Devi's feet, dhi diti. So this is a like word, probably I'm not pronouncing it right. So dhi diti, so it is first da and second dha. So this word means like prakasham. So prakasham or like rays is what is the meaning here. So this is also okay. We won't enter into it. This dhi is a word like which is very popular, very very popular. I should say like too popular in Nyaya Shastram, because there is a commentary written by one person which is called dhi diti. We won't get into that. So. But nakadhi and that tamoguna. So tamogunam means darkness. So darkness or ignorance is what is meant here. So tamas means like darkness or ignorance is what is the meaning here. So ignorance. So nakadhi. So nakadhi means the rays from Devi's nail. Tamogunam means like darkness. So we should have like sam nakaditi sanchanna. So sanchanna means like channam means like dispelling is the meaning. Channam means like vitharanam. I don't know whether vitharanam is a Malayalam word, like ella adathilum vidarrathu solra mari, like it's kind of spreads into all directions. That's kind of meaning here. So samchanna means samyak channam. Samyak means in a very well or very good way, very best way. So samyak channam. So nakadi iti Sanchanna tamoguna. Tamogunam of whose tamogunam? Ignorance is something which has to be specific to a person. So namajjana. Namajjana means people who are namajjanam. So namajjana means janam. We know namat means like people who prostrate. So that means, O Devi, the race of your the race of the nails in your feet that dispels darkness of people who prostrate you. So namajjanam. So people who do namajjanam, people who fall down at your feet, they get, or for them ajnana nasham happens because of the rays coming out of your the nails of your feet. That is the meaning of this particular nama. So then the last nama is Om Padadvaya Prabhajala Paravrata Saruruhayai Namaha. Padadvaya Prabhajala Paravrata Saruruha. So Padadvayam. Padadvayam means both feet. So like Hayagriva entered into like the intricate or the parts of the feet. Now he speaks about the feet in general. So feet, padadvayam, both feet. Saroruha, saroruha means kamalam or lotus. So saroruha means lotus. So padadvayam, padadvaya, prabhajalam. Prabhajalam. So prabhajalam, jalam means like a net or like a group, we can say. So prabha means brightness or light. So the light from both of your feet. So the light coming out of both of your feet. Light, we can say brightness as well, we can say. So in a way we can also like interpret as the sight gives as beauty as well. So prabha, prabha means like brightness or glowing, but that also has to be taken for or standing for beauty here. So the beauty of like our prabha jalam, prabha, the shobha, shobha of Devi's padadvayam, two feet, saroruha, padadvaya prabha jala, parakrita, parakritam. So parakritam means nirakritam. Nirakritam means like it conquers or destroys, defeats. So the beauty of Devi's feet, the beauty and the brightness, glowing nature of Devi's feet conquers or defeats even lotus. So lotus is considered to be one of the most beautiful flower. And that also is defeated by the beauty of Devi's feet. So regarding the Vedantic import, the first nama, Indra Ghopa Parishipta Smarathunaba Jangika. So brightness, it means like brightness. Devi's calf muscles are bright. So brightness, what is the import of brightness? So brightness means which can lead us from ignorance. And it is the same thing that is being explained again. In Nakadeeti Sanchanna Namajjana Tamogunai Namaha. So these both namas speak about ignorance. Ignorance being dispelled by various aspects of Devi. So that means these two, like the calf muscles as well as the nails of Devi, that dispel darkness. But what is like, do they dispel darkness for everyone? So that is where namajjana. So namajjanam or namajjanaya. So namajjanaya means for people who do namaskaram, people who surrender. So dispelling ignorance doesn't happen for everyone. Dispelling ignorance happens only for those who prostrate to Devi. So that is the meaning here. So prostration or surrender or devotion. So what is essentially, what does devotion mean? Devotion means, O Devi, you alone are there. So well, sarvam Devi mayam. So everything is Devi. Remembering that everything is Devi, thereby offering everything to Devi. Whatever we do, there is nothing here but Devi. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavi, the same import. So whatever is there, it is Devi. The thought that it is Devi, concentrating on Devi, offering everything onto Devi. That is what is the devotion meant here. Naman janam namaskaram. It is not just going to Amma and do danda namaskaram. That is not what is meant here. So we may be doing danda namaskaram to Amma. The moment we come back from the queue, we'll start scolding the person next to us. Oh, it is because of you that I got delayed. I would have like stayed a couple of minutes also with Amma. But because of you, I have to come back. So all those arguments will start. Sorry. So Namajjana here means that a person who has completely surrendered. That means a person who remembers that Devi alone is present here. Thereby offers everything. He offers everything to Devi. That is what is meant here. And Goda Gulfa and Kurma Prashta Jaishnu Prapada Anvita. Both of those, as well as like Padadvayapripadala Padagrata Sadulha, all those means that Devi's parts are attractive. So certain aspects of Devi dispel ignorance, have Vedantic import. Certain other aspects are attractive. Attractive means they gain the attention of people. So gain the attention of people means they help people to get out of samsaram and at least temporarily concentrate on Devi. So that is the import of these namas, which includes the anklets and all those things as Goda Gulfa. So it means gaining attention, gaining focus. So why does Devi want to gain focus? Devi has no real purpose, or Devi doesn't gain anything out of gaining attention, but it is for the benefit of her children. Are children really there? If everything is Devi, are children there? No, children are not there. If we read Amma's Namat, or if we see how Devi acts, the Mithya, Jagad Adhishthana and all, we will realize that there is no others for Devi to help. But as long as we are different from Devi, Devi is also different from us. So it is all from the perspective of ignorance that everything has been explained. So Devi gains attention in order to explain us, or in order to like explain Jnanam to us, thereby take us away from samsaram. We ourselves created that Devi. There is only one Brahman. So how can Devi come? We created Devi because of our desire for liberation. At some point of time, we would have yearned dearly, sincerely for moksha in one form or the other form. I want anandam. Most of us would have cried at some point or the other that I want happiness, I want peace. Though we may not have known that the peace that we are seeking is moksha, unknowingly we would have sought. Therefore, we all have sought at one point or the other, and that desire, the more and more it becomes, the more and more we'll be able to apprehend Devi trying to help us. So Amma is there for millions of people. Like all the people in the world have Amma to protect them, to help them. But still, does Amma help all of those people? Yes, she does, but we don't apprehend it. We don't accept it. Because as long as we don't accept it, it will not come to us. So it's our own creation. Like out of our devotion, out of our surrender, Brahman takes a form in order to help us from this samsaram, to make us realize that there is neither Amma, there is neither Devi, there is neither us, but whatever exists is only one Brahman alone. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.